begin by the ringing of a Tibetan bell. You will cup your hands before your heart or just beneath your heart in this invocation of the masters, saints, and prophets, the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of God.
I can't see you and I can't hear you. That's not. Oh, I see. That's not really like this.
Kabir here in front of you.
Hello,
Murshid Hidayat. Thank you for joining us. And we are very happy that you're here. And is Murshid Aziza with you also?
Yes. I don't know why, but I have some difficulty in hearing, perhaps. But I think it would be okay.
All right. We're so happy that you joined us, and we would be so privileged if you would lead us in the invocation.
Yes. Oh, this time I can see you, because the previous times I did not see you.
That's right.
Oh, so there's an improvement.
Well, we hope so.
It's not better.
It's nice when we can see each other.
What did you do now? You made a lot of noise?
We did. We were turning up the speaker.
There's a disconnection all of a sudden. There's a...
that was too much.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, now it's back again, yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm pleased to see this beautiful room.
You remember this room?
Well, yes, that's what I was just going to say.
Okay.
There's just one thing is missing. You, I don't see the dog.
He's right here. He's laying. He's all sleepy right by where I usually sit for the class.
It's scorching hot here. I don't know what kind of weather you have, but we have just something like 30 degrees Celsius.
Well, I don't know what it is in Celsius, but we have over 100 degree temperatures here. Yeah, it's very, very hot.
I must say it's so much nicer to be able to see you. It's quite a different situation altogether to be able to talk to each other while seeing each other.
Well, and although I think you can only see a few of us here, there are people on all sides all around who can also see you.
Well, oh yes?
Yes.
That's not for me.
Yeah.
I've got to be careful. Not a screen, a big screen.
Well, we have another computer set up. We don't have a big screen, but everyone can see you, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they're not too disappointed.
I don't think so. We're very happy that you're here.
Well, okay. You see, I do have a... For some reason or other, I don't know why it is, but this hearing aid is just not compatible with the loudspeaker.
Yes.
I don't understand exactly why. So I'm not able to... How would I say, check the volume of my voice and so on. And of course, I have great difficulty hearing, understanding human action. But after all, there's the ocean between us, isn't there? but in the heart, we are, of course, one.
That's right. We are one.
Okay. Well, I suppose you would like to hear something that you've never heard.
We would.
The invocation.
Yes. fresh every time.
I really wonder if everybody really understands what it really means. Because it's a few words, but in those few words, it really says everything. I mean, it really explains in a few words what we are trying to promote, which is spiritual liberty and unity of spiritual ideals, and more than anything else, love, harmony, and beauty. Because whatever be the ideals, whatever be the goal, if there is not love, harmony, and beauty, we shall never reach that goal. Love, harmony, and beauty is the condition. And as I've said so often, love is not love without harmony. Harmony is not harmony without beauty. And beauty is not beauty without love and without harmony. So those three words, although they sound different, are one and the same. So if you allow me, I will say that invocation. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your words and for joining us.
I give this over to you now.
Thank you. God bless. We love you. Thank you.
Well, there's a lot coming from this side also.
Thank you. Yes, and my mother's here. She's remembering your birthday was a few days ago.
Avon, you're going to have a surprise.
Happy birthday. Good night.
Hi, Aziza.
I go on my knees and I can see you.
Yes.
But not possible. How wonderful.
Yes, you're looking very well, even though it's hot there. Maybe the hot weather becomes you.
I hope everybody there knows our ages.
Well, would you like to tell them?
Well, yes, 20 and 18.
Always inside, yes? Timeless.
Well, let me just say one more thing. We feel very happy to be able to see what's going on there, because now we feel so much closer to you all.
Well, good. If I can get everybody up, I sure would like for them to come around so you can see everyone. Everyone can come around and say hi.
Oh, no, that is nice.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Mom.
Look,
yeah,
can you lean in? Come on, lean in.
We love you.
And we have many more people joined online also.
And there are many people on Skype that are also here hearing us.
And where's the dog?
Here he comes. Here he is. Here he's come here. You see him? There he is. He wanted to be a part of it.
There's a nice bunch of them. Is it for Sunday or is it only for health? It's a bunch of them up here in the heights.
The collar.
Oh, the collar. This is for when he puts this collar on, he always knows we're going to have our class, and so his behavior is very good. It's a little signal like, okay, people are coming, we're going to have meditation and the message, so he's very good.
We should be talking about.
Thank you. We love
bye
you.
Bye. Thank bye you.
Bye bye.
Thank you. I think that
bye.
Nice to come around.
For those that are on Skype chat or listening to this, I think Cabrilla will have a video. We video recorded as well as audio recorded that the chat, and so we'll make sure to post that for you so you can see that. So as Murshid Hidayat said, this Sufi invocation is quite complete because it includes the essence of the message of spiritual liberty, spiritual freedom, and as he said, the message of love, harmony, and beauty. And Murshid Hidayat says it, but I've also seen it in the teachings of Hazrat Inayat Khan that this same message that without love there could be no harmony, without harmony there could be no beauty, and so each is interdependent. Each of these attributes are like a precious circle and cycle, as Jalaluddin Rumi says, the water wheel turning and turning. Turning and turning and tasting of you, of this cycle upon cycles of love, harmony, beauty, love, harmony, beauty, love, harmony, beauty. That's Leo. Just a moment, it'll pass. That's the protected house. Good boy. Doing his job. Much ado about nothing, Leo. He's very good friends with the male person, but he likes to give a good show. Okay, yeah. Let's go down. It's okay, it's finished. So those of us that know the prayer Salat, let us recite that prayer, because that is the prayer at midday, but it is also the prayer that is the embodiment of an invocation of the various masters, saints, and prophets, both of the East and of the West, those that are seen and unseen, those that are known and unknown. And this prayer is in and of itself like universal worship, because it invokes those precious beings, as I said, both known and unknown to the world, that have brought these teachings and held aloft the light through the darkness of human ignorance. Most gracious Lord, Master, Messiah, and Savior of humanity, we greet thee in all humility. Thou art the first cause and the last effect, the divine light and the spirit of guidance, Alpha and Omega. Thy light is in all forms, thy love in all beings, in a loving mother, in a kind father, in an innocent child, in a helpful friend, in an inspiring teacher. Allow us to recognize thee in all thy holy names and forms, as Rama, as Krishna, as Shiva, as Buddha. Let us know thee as Abraham, as Solomon, as Zarathustra, as Moses, as Jesus, and in many other names and forms, known and unknown to the world. We adore thy past. Thy presence deeply enlightens our being, and we look for thy blessing in the future. O Messenger, Christ, Nabi, the Rasul of God, thou whose heart constantly reaches upward, thou comest on earth with the message as a dove from above, when Dharma decay, and speakest the word that is put into thy mouth, as the light filleth the crescent moon. Let the star of the divine light, shining in thy heart, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. May the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and making the whole of humanity as one single brotherhood in the fatherhood of God.
today's subject is on training the ego, on the subject of vanity. And I will read just a very short excerpt, and then we will have a breath practice and a reflection. And we may even reflect further, bringing forth the teaching from June when we last met, just as a reminder of how these teachings are weaving together. So, an excerpt from today's teaching. In the words of Hazaranai Khan, man has the desire to do good and to refrain from doing evil, because to do so feeds his vanity. Man has the desire to do good and refrain from doing evil, because to do so feeds his vanity. Among thousands is one great soul that can keep firm and strong in his purpose through life, unshaken and unweakened by opposition from any side. It is that person who wins in the end and accomplishes things that are worthwhile. In the collective interviews of Hazaranai Khan, he gave a series of practices to his senior murids. In the last few years of his life, these interviews have been compiled and these precious words of instruction that he left for us remain. And amongst those teachings is the teachings on the purification breaths. The purification breaths bring the breath in and out of the body in varying directions. And it is not to be confused with the elemental breaths, which follow the same pattern, but could say to have a different purpose and function. At all the levels of our being, we draw in impressions. In the body, in the mind, in the soul. And one has to imagine, in a way, it's kind of funny if we think about it, that these impressions we carry with us and how they have the capacity or perhaps the tendency or the potential to wear us down. It's like putting on one coat and then another coat and then another coat and then another coat. And trying to walk around with these various levels on us. So then we're given this precious practice to help us peel away these layers, these impressions, so that every person that we meet, every situation that we encounter, every experience that we have, God willing, we might meet it anew. Because it's not being viewed through all of these impressions. So the purification practice is one of the practices that one could do every day for the rest of their lives and have great benefit from it, receive great benefit and blessing, because it helps at all levels clarify our being. Clarify our being, even to ourselves. Mersha tells us that through this practice, we will be revivified and renewed, refreshed. Shall I go on?
Because I feel like I'm distracting and things.
So while we're waiting for the technology to catch up, let's just breathe in a rhythmic fashion. Murshid's instructions regarding this practice are such. Inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner. Inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner. Slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. So as you breathe, bring about this attitude, this consciousness of restfulness, of quietude. And at the same time, allow the breath to become slightly fuller. So in one sense, we're relaxing deeper and deeper, but also concentrated in the fullness of breath. Anayat Khan, Hazrat Anayat Khan says, it's important to discover the natural rhythm of one's breath. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again here, that unless we know the natural rhythm of our breath, we cannot know whether we are absorbing the rhythm of another's breath. Nor do we have the capacity to help in any way should someone need our assistance through the breath, sending peace, sending calm, sending health. Hazrat Anayat Khan says, while inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. Listen to those words again. While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. I'm reading from a paper that is enclosed in the practice manual that we have available through our center. So for the first cycle of breaths, we breathe in the nose and out the nose. And while breathing in, we silently, inwardly repeat the phrase, I inhale divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life, L-I-F-E. And as we breathe out, we repeat the words silently. I radiate divine life, L-I-F-E, and light, L-I-G-H-T. So the two words reverse when we breathe out. And please see your whole being as breathing. And when breathing in, absorbing this divine light and life. And Anayat Khan also says, and imagine that we are absorbing love also from the space. And then when we breathe out, I radiate divine life and light. Receiving and giving. In and out the nose. And see your whole being just radiant with light and full of life and life force. Divine light and life. Divine life and light. And now the pattern of breath changes as we breathe in the nose and out the mouth. The breath will change directions, touching another aspect of our being. Hazrat Anayat Khan makes the analogy that it is like a tree with various branches moving off from the one trunk. So in the nose, breathing in, thinking, I inhale divine light and life, and as we breathe out the mouth, I radiate divine life and light. And as you breathe in, you're absorbing this from infinite light and life. And as you breathe out, you radiate that, offering it to all beings. breath changes again, and we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. Again, while silently repeating the same phrase. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. While breathing in the mouth and out the nose. And the last in this breath practice, the last cycle, is in the mouth and out the mouth, breathing in the mouth and out the mouth, while retaining a quiet, restful manner. The breath is in its natural rhythm, yet slightly fuller. Breathing in, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out, I radiate divine life and light. Release that concentration and go into your own natural rhythm and see through inner observation observing how the body feels, the state of the mind, the state of one's emotions. Before going on to the reading, I'd like to ask, is there anything, anyone, any questions, first of all, about the practice, or anything anyone would like to share? And, of course, we have people in the room here, in the home, in our center, but also people from afar on Skype. If you'd like to contribute here, you can unmute your mic, yes, and we can hear you.
Yes, unfortunately, I found out most people weren't hearing from after the point that we embarked. It shut things off, and so we restarted, and many people did not actually, weren't here for the practice or couldn't hear it.
Okay.
So, but if there were people who did have an ongoing connection and you did want to speak, please do send a message.
Here from this side, or shall we move on?
I would like to know how it affects the brain circuitry from breathing in our mouth to breathing in our nose and exhaling. Everything is finely tuned, and I'd like to know the difference.
Do you feel it finely tuned?
No. Yes, of course, I feel good, but I'm sure there's a lot more that I could feel.
Well, look. Information brings about thinking, but feeling is different. Yeah. And it's important to observe. It's also important to know. But what it does do, these different rhythmic breathing directions, one might say, actually move the breath in different directions. So in and out, the nose is typically would be an expanding horizontal direction. In and out the mouth has a capacity for descending. So sending the breath in a downward direction, which of course is very helpful if we need to ground, you know, feel present, feel. But it also has to do with different bodies. For example, the first breath can relate to the physical body, and the second breath can relate to the emotional body. Mm-hmm. And the third breath, which is the rising breath in the mouth and out the nose, of course, then sends the breath upward. It relates to the appetites of the body. And in and out the mouth relates to the mind. So it does have these, but this is a very deep practice. Even every so often, after having done it for almost 3 decades, I'll say, I realize something new. It's not something that can be easily described in a few words. It's experiential, and it reveals itself through practice. Thank you, Diane. Anyone else?
I felt a great spaciousness, a gardening of breath.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Just kind of living in this garden of breath. Yeah, it was very peaceful. Yeah, it was very nice.
It's nice to also have the support of the, you know, everyone participating in the practice together, I think, supports us. And of course, time and space isn't as we think it is. We could always invoke our friends and companions to be there with us when we're alone doing the practice, apart from the group. We can feel that. Not to mention the illuminated souls that are here with us, both in the room, seen and unseen. Yes?
Oh, I just
was interesting for me because I was going back and forth with trying to get things resolved, but then also going into the practice, but I could really feel the atmosphere changing as that was all happening, and it was kind of, there was an ease of coming in and out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, completely felt.
And do we have everybody reconnected? Are we good?
I hope so.
Okay.
I'm now running two computers in case people were curious what happened to some of the participants.
Okay, and we're on the same. Joyce, was there anything you wanted to say?
I had the same experience. This is expansion.
Who doesn't need that, huh?
And kind of real clear.
Mm-hmm. Purification breath, clarification, right? Clarifying our being. One time when Murshid Hidayat was visiting Kansas City, he gave the example, some of you may remember, and I think it's actually online in his section on the website, him talking about the purification breaths and giving the practice, and he said, I remember he gave the example that of going to a restaurant. And does anyone else remember this that was there, maybe?
I'm not sure.
And he said, it's like someone recommends this great restaurant because they have this wonderful experience, and you go there, and it's like you don't know it, but it's not the same cook, so it's not good for you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't enjoy the experience. And then you have this impression that this food is no good. And so because it was that one experience, you won't ever go back to that restaurant. But he said that this happens with people, with places, with situations, that we get this impression and this idea, and unless we clarify that, for example, in this instance, going back and asking your friend what they might have had to eat and do they know who the chef was that night, you'll forever be blocked from that experience. So the purification breaths help us do that at many different levels. Any other comments or questions?
The word came in, truth. Might as well, as long as we're doing divine love and life and light, might as well add truth. But again, that's the same.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And one could do that. I mean, you can absorb that as well, certainly.
Actually, there is a question. Alina, would you like to go ahead and unmute your line?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Alina.
Hello. You just explained to someone in the room about, I forgot.
The feel.
It concerns the appetites of the body.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, that's a good question. So, for example, that maybe one could also say it as our passions. So. This body that has the components potentially of anger, lust, greed, these kinds of emotions can be clarified through that dimension of the practice. Is that clear, Alima?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have these passions, and they all have one can say that there's light and shadow to everything. For example, universal love can become sentimentality, which has a very limited scope. The transformational element can become anger or frustration. There's a shadow to it. Compassion can become complacency. Peace can become laziness. Do you understand what I'm saying, Alima? Well, does everyone understand what I'm saying? So these aspects, these and here I listed some of them that, which could be considered passions, but some that maybe go in other categories. But the point is to kind of clarify those and bring them into a place of service so that they're not aberrant within our being. Is that helpful?
It is. Thank you.
I think it ties very much into this subject also of vanity, because the last thing we want to do is pretend at being spiritual. We are spiritual, and we need to live from that truth. And also the previous teaching, which was in July, which deals with self-consciousness, it also has to do with this. But to embrace the energy of these emotions and be able to use them in a transformative way is very helpful. But it does take a lot of skill. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of mindfulness. So thank you for asking that question for the benefit of everyone. Is there anything else before we go on? And Alima, you might want to mute your mic again from your side. So in June, we had this teaching on training of the ego. And this was on self-consciousness. And I would like to read just a couple of short paragraphs because it then flows very nicely into this month's teaching. Again, in the words of Hazard and Icon, there is a tendency in man to think a great deal about what others think of him. And in some natures, this tendency develops quickly. This develops in him, her, self-consciousness, which is the root of several defects in man. It enfeebles man physically and mentally, and makes him dependent upon the opinion of others, so to speak. He lives on the good opinion of others, and he is as dead when they have a bad opinion of him. This tendency makes a person sensitive, often hypersensitive. It often reaches such a point that every word he speaks, he looks around for approval, and every movement he makes in the same way is calculated to produce an effect. This makes the body and the mind both heavy and burdensome to the soul. It develops in nature that weakness which in ordinary words is called touchiness, taking offense at every little thing. And the nature of many people is such that they enjoy bringing out any weakness that may be in a person. It becomes a pastime of such people. And the life of the one who is sensitive is made so difficult that he has no rest at home or abroad. Everyone seems to him wicked. Everyone's presence seems to have a jarring effect upon him.
and he seeks to be exclusive and to find a seclusion which light does not permit of his finding. So again, that is from the last time we met, which was June. So if you wish to explore that subject further and hear the entire reading and also the practices that we did, one can find that on the website. The last line to that reading, though, is very beautiful, because Hazard Nikon tells us that the only remedy is forgetting the self and putting the whole mind into work and each occupation undertaken. It's very interesting when you think about it, because he's telling us there to be in the moment, to be focused in the moment, not necessarily reflecting in the past or projecting to the future. Really, that all is imagination, if you think about it. There's no value in it or truth in it, especially if it brings about self-consciousness or worry. Comments before I move on, or questions?